once again, good evening, and thank you for showing up. You know, my fear, I always kind of fear two things when I go into a new community or even at home. I fear that when I open my portfolio, there'll be no notes in there, okay? Or when I come to preach, there'll be no one there here to preach to, okay? So thank you for showing up. Thank you for coming. Let's do our pledge. Do we have that right there? Do we? Can we all say that? I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Psalm 119, 11, and 105. Thank you for that. Let me tell you just a bit about who we are. Some of you know who we are. Some of you don't know who we are. Okay? I told you last evening that 32 years ago, God blessed me with a marriage to a wonderful young lady. And I do thank God for that. And not only today is she my wife, she's my best friend. All right? And that's the way it should be. God also has blessed us with three lovely, beautiful, adorable children. Okay? They are Megan, which is 29, and she's married. Ryan, who is 27, and not married, but looking in that direction. Okay? And Laura, who is 24, and she is married. Now, Laura's been married for a year in September. But I should tell you this. Ironically enough, you know, as God would have it, sisters married brothers. Okay? Sisters married brothers. Okay? And so I would ask you, though, that you would remember Megan, who is 29, and her husband, Bradley. They've been married 7-8 years now, and the Lord's not given them children. Okay? Now, you know, that's kind of what comes with marriage, right? Once a couple gets married, you just assume, okay, that it won't be long and children will be coming. Well, shortly after they were married, casually and discreetly, of course, to our daughter, I put in my order for grandchildren. Okay? And of course, waited and as patient as I am, but they were still TBA, okay, to be announced, okay? They weren't quite there yet. So I was patient, and one day they decided, Megan and Bradley, decided to go into the foster care system, if you're all familiar with that is, okay? Well, in that process, they got a call one day to take, back in May. They got a call this year, May, to take, if they would take a 3-year-old. Now, this 3-year-old was like 2.5 then, whatever, and she was in 4 homes in those 2.5 years. It's a story on itself, not a good one either. Not good. She's now almost 3. And then in July of this year, they got another call and said, would you like another child? And Megan said, well, I don't know. We got this 2.5, 3-year-old, you know, and know how they are, you know. So we don't know if we do or not. Well, how old is the child? Well, this is July 7th now. Well, the baby was born July 4th. You know how rare, at least in New York, how rare it is to get a newborn baby. That's a whole story in itself as well, but the mother wanted nothing to do with the baby. It was a rape case, and it's also a long story, but she wanted nothing to do with the baby. So I say all that to say that we are going through a change of life. Okay? Do I dare say middle-age crisis? I'm not sure, but it's a change of life. And two things are happening to us. Number one, we are experiencing the empty nest syndrome, okay? Children are all gone. They've kind of, they're gone, okay? And so the second thing that's happening to us is that we are becoming grandparents. Okay? What a wonderful stage of life. And if you're real good and real cautious, I might show you one of the 27 pictures I got. Okay? You don't need to beg too much. I will show you. Okay? All right? So, anyway. So, how many grandparents here? Some of you are. I know that. Some of you are. Isn't it a wonderful stage of life? It's just, I'm loving it. I really am. Everybody said, grandparent stage is great. Great. And I agree. I agree. But, you know, there are some precautions that one needs to take, especially with a 2-year-old, 3-year-old. First of all, now when Megan says, you know, we're going to bring Nicole is her name. We're going to bring Nicole over to spend a couple hours, half a day, whatever with y'all. Next thing I do is I hang up and I go and I make a strong black cup of coffee. Okay? Once I've consumed that and Brianna or Nicole comes, Brianna is the baby. Once Nicole comes and I play with her and crawl with her and, you know, and she's 2, so she's all over. She's all over. She's wired more than I am, but she's all over. So once she goes home, okay, the second step of the process happens. The second step is I have another blacker, stronger cup of coffee and a nap. See? That time, I'm pumped and ready to go again. So anyway, that's the story on them there, the children. Just a quick little bit about what I do for a living. Okay, I sell storage sheds, as does another brother here, I believe. I sell storage. We build, manufacture storage sheds there. My role right now is I'm doing the purchasing for the raw material for all of that, lumber, plywood, all of that. Okay. I've been going 20 years now, and we sell about 960 to 1,000 sheds a year. With all that, we do a lot of cropping, hay, making hay. We make hay in New York, and we haul it to PA, and we sell it to the Amish folks. This year, roughly, we will crop about 3,000 acres. So I say all that to say between the 40 to 50 hours of work week in the secular job that I put in, and 40 to 50 hours in the ministry, I say that's just about a week. But by the time Sunday comes, I'm ready for a break. So, okay, that's a little bit of what I do, okay? And if you want to know more about any of that, just tell me, and if you want to see pictures of the children, grandchildren, by all means, ask me. All right. Okay. Now, I believe every message has to have a purpose for giving it. A purpose for receiving it. Last night's purpose was that we understand that we are dealing with the authoritative word of God. Amen? Okay? And we are, and we will continue to do that. The purpose of the message tonight is to deal with something that I believe we all deal with, we all face. And I'm going to try and bring messages that are practical. Okay, that we can go home and that we can put to shoe leather, that we can see how does this flesh out in my own life. What is God saying to me that I can take home from tonight and say, can I put it to use? You know, messages are good to hear and they're all sweet and flowery, it could be, but if they aren't useful, what good are they? If I can't take it home and say, you know, boy, if only one word, that I can take home and say, that's, I needed that, then that's, amen, give God the glory. Give God the glory. And make sure you do that, okay? Make sure you do that. I should say that. Make sure you do it. Don't come to say, he's got nice hair. You know, I want to see him comb his hair again. That's why I come, okay? Don't be doing that at all. Don't be coming because I'm here. Come because God is here, okay? Amen. God is here. The Holy Spirit is here, and he wants to speak to us, okay? Including me, all right? Okay. Okay, the topic this evening, or the purpose of the message this evening, is to look at one word, and that word is ready. That word is contentment. Contentment, brothers and sisters. I ask you this evening: are you content? Title of the message is "Oh, to be content." Oh, to be content. The great Socrates once said, man is never content. When it's hot, he wants it cool. And when it's cool, he wants it hot, always wanting what is not. is the story of a rich, very rich, by the way, Holmes called him rich type thing, independent businessman who was disturbed to find a fisherman sitting very lazily beside his boat one day. "Why aren't you out there fishing?" he asked. "Because I've caught enough fish for today," said the fisherman. "Well, why don't you catch more fish? More than you need?" the rich man asked. "What would I do with them?" "You could earn more money," came his reply, "and buy a better boat, a bigger boat, a faster boat. You could go deeper and catch even more fish. You could purchase nylon nets." "Oh, yes. Then you could catch even more fish and make more money. Soon, soon you'd have a fleet of boats and be rich, just like me." The fisherman asked, "Then what would I do?" The rich man smiled and said, "Well, then you could sit down and take life easy." The fisherman replied, "What do you think I'm doing right now?" All to be content, brothers and sisters. Think about these questions. Who are the happiest people? The rich or the poor? Who are the happiest? Talk to any professional, semi-professional, football, basketball, baseball, soccer player, any hockey player, any sport you like, okay? And if you know anything about sports at all, they make megabucks. Okay? How many of them do you know, and I can tell you some, how many do you know that have retired, quit, got hurt, got injured, whatever, got done with the sport, and in short time, they were bankrupt? Why? Why? Who are the happiest people, the rich or the poor? Both rich and poor suffer from discontentment. I believe the happiest people in the world are the ones who are the most content with what they have. I ask you this evening, are you content with what you have? Think about that. Keep one thing in mind. Material things will never, never bring lasting contentment. Never, never, ever. If you don't hear anything else tonight, hear that. Never, ever. Remember what Solomon said about everything he had. What did he say? "Give me more! Give me more of it!" What did he say? Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Vanity, all of it. Paul speaks to the church at Philippi about contentment. Scripture text. Open your scriptures to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. One thing we learned early on in the ministry is that you never start reading the word until you stop hearing the pages turn. Okay? Philippians 4, verse 10. "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you did care for me, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things." If you don't remember any other verse of scripture, remember this one here. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." What a, there's a message in that all by itself. What a powerful verse that is. I can do all things. Not in my own power, but through Christ who gives me the strength to do it. Amen? Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Paul discovered the art of being content. He learned a lesson we all need to learn about God. We need to learn to trust Him to supply our every want. Are y'all with me? Are we on the same page? Are you listening? Are you taking notes? Don't write "want" then if you're taking notes. Okay? Okay? "To He will supply our every need." Now, think about the difference between a want and a need. What's your definition? You know, this could be a little bit of a verbal thing here. A want and a need. Well, how do you distinguish? You know, I want to buy this. Here we go. I'm looking at buying this vehicle. Okay, what is it? 2013 Lamborghini. $189,000. I don't know. I haven't never bought one, but I'm just guessing. I'm just winging it here now, Elvin. I don't know for sure here, but the exact the retail sticker price. But is there a car dealer someplace, isn't there? One of these car dealer. And so you know, is that a want or is that a need? Do you think I have to be careful here because they're good vehicles. Well, a little Volkswagen something here, would that be just as good with one ball tire and three good ones? Anyway, that's another time. Okay. Okay. In verse 11, Paul wanted to make it clear that he was not expressing a need for more gifts. Okay? He was not saying, you know, I want you to pay me more. We need to pass the offering basket again because it wasn't quite enough in it the first time. Okay? I've already counted, I need a little more. So we'll try this game again. No, he said, no, you've been more than gracious. I won't say that too. You've been more than gracious to me. Okay? You've supplied my needs, you've taken care of me. He learned through a considerable amount of practice how to get along with much or with little. Paul was indifferent to what most people consider important or necessary. The key word in the verse here, of course, is the word content. The Greek meaning of the word is self-sufficient, in the sense that Paul needed no outward props and nothing outside to help him sustain and keep and maintain his faith. In Christ, he possessed an inner strength that erased any dependency on external help. His sense of what? His sense of self-worth and well-being did not depend on the state of his outward conditions. Remember I said last night? Did not depend on the state of his outward conditions. Okay? He understood many years prior to that survey from Binary Research how one should react to different situations. He could deal with companionship or being alone, popularity or rejection, comfort or pain, good health or illness. He had been through it all. Okay? Sometimes we don't handle those things very well, do we? Pain, popularity, you know, rejection, comfort, pain, all of that. A couple of questions to ponder. Have we learned to live in a state of contentment? Really? Now, I believe this is quite an affluent state. We all have much, don't we? And if you don't believe that we are not a rich people, okay, we are a blessed people. If you don't believe we are a rich people, talk to Brother Alvin or myself who's traveled somewhat to third world countries, and some of us, the rest of us have too, okay, and we realize very quickly that we are an extremely rich nation, land, people. If we're not at the state of contentment, what is keeping us from reaching Paul's level of contentment? What's holding us back? What are the strongholds? I like to use that. What's the strongholds? What are the blockades? What's the stopping point that's keeping us from being content with what God has blessed me with? Once again, keep in mind, it's not mine. It all belongs to God. Well, 15 years ago, there was a story in U.S. News and World Report about the so-called American dream. This dream included owning your own home, having all your needs met, having enough money to do all the things you really want to do, and to have all the things you really want to have. Remember, the article called it a dream. So how much money would it take to fulfill the dream? The story said for Americans who with household incomes of under $25,000 or less a year, these people would believe that it would take $54,000 to fulfill the American dream in their life. The same survey also showed that for those who made $100,000 or less, it would take about $192,000 for their American dream to come true. In other words, what am I saying? In other words, the American dream usually lies about twice the distance from the reach. Think about it. It takes about twice as much. Why are we in financial trouble? Why is the deficit more than it should be? Why are our credit cards all maxed out? Okay? That's probably not a problem with everybody here, but some people know it is a big issue. Why is that? Because we are always reaching out for something else, aren't we? Something bigger, something better, something, that $198,000 Lamborghini that I really don't need. See, part of my business is in sales, and not so much now, but selling sheds, and I sell a person a shed, and like 12 or 24, let's say, and a couple of years, they come back, and they say, you know, boy, we really need a 12 by 40 now. Why is that? Why? Did the items that they have babies and grow? Is that why they need, that's why they need more room? Or is it because they have more stuff? Okay? And I love it when they buy more stuff because then I sell more shits. I like that. If that's a bit of a materialistic outlook, then that's the way it is. Okay? But that's my business. So I do enjoy that. So I said, keep buying the stuff, boys and girls, and I'll keep selling your shits. Okay, now, how many people do you know who look at their own lives and say these two words? If only. If only I were older. If only I was younger. If only I could be a teenager again. Teenagers. And the teenagers are saying, if only I was 35. If only I was 35. Okay. If only I was taller. If only I was thinner. If only I could see better. If only I had yes hair. Really. Think about it. If only I was better looking. If only I had more money. If only I had a bigger house. If only I had such and such a car. If only my parents did this. If only my children did this. If only I had a different job. We could go on and on and on, couldn't we? Playing the if only game. We think if only this or only that. What are we saying? By saying if. I'm not content. I'm not content. If only this, if only that, by saying that, we're saying we're not content. But if we think that, then where is the peace? Where is the peace? Where is the joy of the Lord? Where is the peace that passes all understanding? Where is all that in our daily walk, in our lives as Christians? Little Christ. Okay, where is all that? Oh yes, and of course, if only I had all the things I need, of course I could serve the Lord better. Of course I could go on missionary trips. Oh, I would go to Outer Mongolia. That is a place, by the way, you know, isn't it? Yes, it is. I could just serve the Lord so much better if only the Lord would come through for me. Would you really? Contentment does not mean we must never try to improve our situation in life. I'm not saying that at all. We are to be content with what we have. But we must not stop at just from using our own skills and abilities. We must not stop at using our own skills and abilities, which the Lord has given us. If our desire to get ahead causes us to neglect our families, our church, and our fellowship and our walk with the Lord, then we have a serious, serious problem. As long as we are more concerned about glorifying God and meeting His approval than anything else, then we can and should use our abilities to improve our situation. Okay, contentment needs to be learned. Contentment needs to be learned. It does not come natural. It does not come natural. We are a very discontented people. Think about this, if you will. Thinking about the whole area of discontentment. We buy things we don't need. With money we don't have. To impress people we don't like. Why? Why? Why do we do that? Why do we buy things we don't need? Lamborghini, you know, with money I haven't got $198,000, I'll tell you right up front, okay? And I would, and the people that I don't like, okay? Okay? You know, in a Christian way, of course, you know, but they are those rare individuals that test my patience. Okay? So, why is that? Why is that? And I wish I had the answer. One time Paul wanted something so bad, but the Lord said, no. Have you ever been there? Lord, you know, if only I could do this. If only you would provide this for me. If only. Paul said that. Paul says, Lord, if only you would take this away from me. If only you'd do this, okay, I'd be a much better Christian. The Lord says, no, you'll have to lean on me and be content with that. 2 Corinthians, turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You all know the story, but let me just read a bit of it here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let's start at verse 7. Verse 7. And least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded. He didn't only ask once, Bernstein. He pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, what? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul learned how to say, Lord, Lord, whatever your will is, I am ready to accept it. I ask you this evening, friends, are you at that point? You know, it's easy to serve Christ in the mountaintop, isn't it? Okay? The hard part is when I go back home and not everybody is as nice to me as you all are here. Okay? When reality hits and they really know who I really am. Okay? But you know, when you're off that mountaintop and you're down in the valley and things aren't going as smooth as they should or that you would like them, okay, then how is your service? Then how is your attitude? Then how is your commitment? It needs to be learned. This was either something that pegged, something that held Paul down here. It was constant irritation to him. How many of you, probably all have, how many have ever gotten a sliver in your hand or your foot or someplace in your body? Okay? We all have. Okay? Now that, you know, I'm not saying a 16-foot, a 3-foot piece of log. I'm saying a little puppy of a sliver. It's only a little thing. It's only minute, minuscule. It's a small little thing. But it's like, do you ever get a blackberry seed caught in your teeth? Feels like a boulder, don't it? That sucker is that big, I can't get it out of there. Give me some floss, quick. Get that thing out of there. And it's only a little bit of a thing. Okay? But it feels like it's a rock. And it's that big inside your mouth. Okay? That little sliver, you know, and I'm not, now I'll tell you, my wife will say, I know she will. I'm not big on pain. Okay? I'm not big on pain. We were, you know, I was there. I was there during the childbirthing and all that, and I was right into it, you know. But I can remember very well. It's a long story. I won't go into it too much here, but I won't give you too many details. But I can tell you this. As we were our first one, and going into the scrub room, the doctor says she's a lady. She says, "Follow me, Mr. Leinecker." So she says she's there doing her thing, and she says, "Do what I do." So I'm there watching her. I'm, you know, doing the same thing she's doing, and she dries off. And Ruth, you know about this. And so then we start going through these double doors where I knew we could be in trouble. Okay. She turns to me and she says, "Mr. Leinecker, let me tell you something very clearly. When I get in that room, my focus is going to be on your wife. You're on your own. If you're going to pass out, you're on your own. I don't care because nobody's going to come to help you." So I took a deep breath and I said to myself, "Self, we can do this." Okay? So what I'm saying to y'all is that I've been there and the pain and all of that. Okay? But I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like pain. Anyway, Splinter, it gives us a lot of pain for what it really is. But Paul had this type of thing. He had something in him that was giving a lot of irritation. He asked for release from it, and he says no. God says no. Paul calls it this thorn a messenger from Satan. A messenger of Satan. I believe it shows us the role that Satan plays in our lives. Okay? He is not out there. He is not here to make our life easy, comfortable, soft, cushy. None of that. He is out to destroy us. He is out to destroy us, folks. No other way, shape, form, or matter about it. Okay? He is out to kill, eat, devour, destroy us. That is his mission in life. But he is limited, is he not? He is limited. Think back, if you will, to the book of Job. Now, you all read the book probably many more times than I have. Okay, I love that. What did, you know, Job was going through all kinds of things. He had it all, and he lost it all. He gets it back. I understand all that. But in that period of loss, he didn't know it was going to come back. He didn't know. First, he was going to die. He had lost it all. Okay? Job, God says to Satan, "You can only go so far." Okay? You can only go so far. So I ask you, who is really in control? Who is really in charge here, brothers and sisters? Who's really calling the shot? Who's really the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Who is it? Jesus Christ Almighty, amen. He's the one. He's the one, beloved, that is in charge. He's the one who is in charge, controls even Satan, even the fallen angels. He is limited. He is limited. Okay, the problem kept Paul pinned close to the Lord. He needed to learn to be content with what the Lord had given him. Okay, three areas where contentment must be learned. Contentment in knowing Jesus. You know, there's a, I said last night, we all have something called a sin problem. A sin problem. We need to be content in knowing who Jesus is. And I tried to help us see last night who Jesus really was. We're all looking for what I call answers to life. Now, maybe the older we get, maybe we found some of them, but as a young teenager type person, we're looking for life. What is my purpose in life? Where am I going in life? What does God have in store for me in my life? And I'm asking that too when I grew up. What does God want me to do? Okay? Don't quite know myself yet, really, all the times. People are looking everywhere for happiness and peace. It goes way back to 1776, really, really. Something called the Declaration of Independence. And I quote, "We hold these truths to be self-sufficient, to self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that all are endowed by the Creator with certain rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." What are people, what is Americans looking for? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Everyone wants to be happy. As I said last night, let's all be happy. D.L. Moody said once, and I quote, "There's a God-shaped vacuum in every person's life, and only God can fill it." End of quote. Has God filled that vacuum in your life? Because there is one. There is a void. There is a vacuum in your life. And I ask you, brothers and sisters, regardless what age you are this evening, has God filled that void? Or are you still out there searching for something to fill that void? We must not be content with the walk. I ask you this evening again another question. Are you content with your walk as a child of God? Are you at the point where you want to be? Are you at peace with your walk? I hope not. I hope not. We should always be looking to grow and to develop our walk. We should press on, as Paul said in Philippians 3:13-14. We should continue to press on. Contentment begins with knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior and continues as we walk with Him day after day after day. Many have trusted Jesus and yet still find that contentment is not there. And I ask you why. I'm saved. I've committed my life to Jesus Christ. Why has contentment eluded me? Why am I still not content? Because, point number two, I am not content with material things. I always want more. I always want more. There's always, once again, something out there that I've got to have. Now, a man once said, I had no shoes and complained until I met a man who had no feet. The want of material things can kill contentment in both the life of a Christian and the non-Christian. We need to learn the difference between wants and needs. Verse 19 says, and my God shall supply, and there's that word again, and my God shall supply all. All. I ask you again, all of Scripture, all of my needs. I think there's a pattern here, folks. Okay? I think there's something that we need to take heed and listen to. All of our needs according to the riches by in glory by Jesus Christ. Material things do not bring lasting contentment, once again. Someone who says, again, he who is content has enough. He who complains has too much. Okay? I kind of like that. He who is content has enough. He who complains has too much. We must learn to hold, again, and I've used this term even today, I've used this phrase different places, different times, different situations. We must hold very lightly onto the things that we call ours. We must hold onto them with a loose grip. Why? Because they are not ours. I don't care how much you have or how little you have. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. And we are only stewards of what He has given us. Only then can we really enjoy them, once we realize that they're not ours. Let me give you six checkpoints to help you identify, if you will, discontentment. Number one, do I buy on impulse or after thought and prayer? Now, for many years, I have spent in the retail of some type, the retail business. Hardware, lumber, building supplies, you know, all that kind of stuff. The True Value Days, Agway Days, if you know what that is, farm and feed supply business, all of that. But I ask you, when you go into a grocery store tomorrow, and you stand at the checkout line, and you wait for your turn to check out, I ask you, why are there candy, soda, cigarettes, gum, magazines, right there in the checkout line? Why is that? Why is that? Advertisements, retail, there's a term for it, but I won't, it's a retailing, okay? Impulse buying is what it's called, brothers and sisters, okay? It's only 89 cents for that pack of gum. Really, 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 it is. That Reader's Digest is only $1.29. That soda is only $1.50. You know? Where do you think the people that run these convenience stores, and they're all over the world, okay, where do you think they make their money? On the 2 cents a gallon of gas that they sell? They sell you 10 gallon of gas and they make 20 cents. Do you think it's the gas, or do you think it's the times you go in for the coffee and the muffins and the sticky buns and the cigarettes and the chewing tobacco? I know you all don't do that, but I'm just saying if you did, okay, that's where you'd find it. Okay, and all the other stuff, that's where the money's made. Impulse items. Do you buy an impulse, or after you've thought about it, went on and prayed about it? Okay? I would say never make a large purchase, whatever that may be to you. You know, if someone's pressuring you to say, well, you know, you got to buy it right now. It's going to be gone. It's a hot buy. You know, it's a hot deal. You got to get, well, just hold on. Just take a break. Take a pill. Relax, okay? Number two, do I give my first fruits to the Lord? To the Lord's work, or what is left over? Or maybe not at all. Now, what are the first fruits to you? Okay, a little bit of teaching here, maybe. How do you all look on the tithe? On the 10%? The question is, brothers and sisters, on this tithing, is the tithing, the 10%, is the place you start or a place you stop? You decide that for yourself. Tithing is also a decision that you need to make. Does it come from the gross or the net? By that I'm saying what you start with or what you take home. Where does that 10% bottom line start from? You decide that as well. My first fruits. Does God get the best or the leftovers? I mean, leftovers are good. I enjoy leftovers. It's food. I enjoy leftovers. But I'm saying, is that what God wants from his children? The leftovers. Number three, do I get upset when something is lost or destroyed? Boy, I got this brand new 20-ounce S-wing hammer. Cost me $49. Man, I just, and you know, it's a rubber grip, it's anti-vibration, and it's just a great hammer, or whatever, you know, whatever's important to you, okay? And it's lost. It's lost. How do you feel? Do you get, does it just irritate you to no end? Or not? Number four, do I need to buy something to be happy? Do I need to buy something to be happy? Boy, I just got to have this item because that would make me happy if I only had it. Number five, do my material possessions hinder my testimony for Christ? Do my possessions, my material stuff, hinder my testimony for Christ? How do you look at someone who is rich? We've kind of discussed that in different places. Someone has a big mansion and a big business and all of that. How do you look at them? And number six, does what I want or need make it easier or harder to serve the Lord? Does what I want or what I need make it easier or harder to serve the Lord? We may have contentment in knowing Jesus, and we may be free from these chains of materialism, but there may still be something that robs us of our contentment. And what is that? Number three, contentment through difficulties of life. Contentment through difficulties of life. How do you feel when unexpected problems come? When things that, you know, problems can come, as I well know, in a phone call. In a phone call. Day is going good. I'm on a high. Things are rolling. We're pumping sheds out. Okay? And the phone rings. Okay? And from that point on, friends, it's a bad day. For whatever reason. We've all been there. We've all had bad days. We've all had situations where we didn't expect it to turn out that way. One day, a farmer's donkey fell into a well. The animal was there for hours as the farmer tried to figure out how to get him out. Finally, he decided the animal was old and the well hadn't worked for years anyway. And it wouldn't have been worth trying to save the donkey. So the farmer invited all of his neighbors to come over. And as they came over, he gave each one a shovel and said to them, "Fill the hole." To the amazement, as they continued to shovel dirt into this well, to the amazement of everyone, the donkey made no sound. The farmer says, "He must be dead." After a while, the farmer looked down in the well and was surprised by what he saw. With every shovel of dirt that hit the donkey's back, the donkey just simply shook it off and took a step up. As the farmer and the neighbors continued to shovel dirt on top of the donkey, it would not be long until the donkey was up level with the top of the well, and the donkey shook the last bit of dirt off his back, and he walks away. A free donkey. What's that saying? Brothers and sisters, there's going to be times in life, if it hasn't already, and it has here, when people are going to shovel a lot of dirt on you. A lot of dirt. They say a bulldozer pushes a lot of dirt and it pushes it real fast. Well, in that message it talks about gossip. Okay? People push a lot of dirt real fast. And sometimes as that dirt rolls off to the side of the blade of the dozer, okay? It falls in the hole of the donkey. It falls on you and I. And I ask you this evening, what are you going to do with it? Is it going to bury you? Or are you going to shake it off? I'm not saying it's easy. It's easy for me to say this, but I'm not saying it's easy to do. Shake it off, give it to the Lord, and walk on. How are you going to handle it? Paul has his own problems. 5 times 39 lashes, 3 times beaten with rods, stones, shipwreck, danger from robbers and false brethren. Times are difficult for a lot of people. You've probably heard this story. Horatio Spafford wrote a great and mighty song about contentment. He was a successful attorney in Chicago. He had a wife and 4 daughters, and as he was a loyal friend of D.L. Moody. During the Great Chicago Fire of 1871, Mr. Spafford lost much of his real estate investments. He says it could not get any worse. He decided to lift the spirits of his family by taking them to a trip. A trip, yes, to Europe. Mr. Spafford was detained by urgent business in Chicago, but he sent his wife and 4 daughters as scheduled on the trip alone. Halfway across the Atlantic, the ship was struck by an English vessel, and in 12 minutes, it sank to the bottom of the ocean. All 4 of Spafford's daughters were killed, along with 226 other people. Mrs. Spafford was saved, one of the very few who were. Horatio Spafford stood hour after hour on the deck of the ship, which carried him to his wife in Wales. When the ship passed the estimated place where his daughters were drowned, Mr. Spafford received great peace and contentment from God, enabling him to write, "When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." This evening, friends, I ask you, as we close, is it well with your soul? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, friends. The question of the hour, the invitation, once again, respond only as the Lord directs. Respond only as the Lord speaks to you. Maybe you have spent your whole life chasing what is called the American dream. Maybe you're out there and you're just trying to continually get more and more and more. Maybe you're carrying a thorn in your flesh tonight. I don't know, but God knows. You've asked God to remove it multiple times. Maybe it's disease, maybe it's cancer, maybe it's sickness, maybe it's financial loss, maybe it's marriage problems, maybe it's health problems, maybe it's problems raising the children. Whatever the case may be, it's a thorn in your flesh tonight. And you said, Lord, just take it away. I can't stand it anymore. And the Lord has said, no. No, not yet. Maybe you've not asked the Lord to take it away. Maybe you've asked the Lord only to help you endure it. Maybe tonight you're saying, I've got this thorn, Lord, and I'm not asking you to take it away. I'm simply asking you to help me bear it, to help me live with it. Maybe tonight you need to shake off some dirt that somebody has thrown on your back. Somebody has said something to you. Somebody has did something to you. And no, we're not out to get revenge. I'm not saying that at all. We're here to shake the dirt off. And this evening we want to do just that. If something has happened to you, maybe today, maybe yesterday, maybe last month, maybe 10 years ago, maybe as a child, as a little child, brothers and sisters, something has happened to you. Something that a scar, a wound that has never healed. Yes, the wound is healed, but the scar is still there. And you know it's there. And maybe you're the only one in this room who knows it's there. But you and God know it's there. And you want release from that. That's another whole message on forgiveness. But that you want release from that. Help me, Lord, to bear what you have given me to bear. I will pause just a moment. If the Lord is speaking to anyone, just once again, raise your hand, brothers and sisters. Just raise your hand, and I wanna pray for y'all. I wanna pray and just help you to see that there is release, that there is a Savior who cares. There is a God out there who wants nothing but the best for you. But you need to be able to know how to release that. And say, Lord, I lay it again, all at the foot of the altar. Thank you, sister. I lay it all at the foot of the altar. I lay it all at the foot of the cross. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, sister. Thank you, sister. I lay it all at the foot of the cross. And Father, Lord, I don't know how to handle it. I don't know how to deal with it. But Lord, you know. You know. I haven't handled it right. I haven't handled it right. There's been a lot of things in life that I've been chasing after, let's say. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I want to give it to you, Lord, and I want to give it to you tonight, right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, as these dear souls have responded, Father, once again, we want to lay their burden, their concern, their situations at the foot of the cross, Father, Lord. No other place can it be healed. No other place can they find forgiveness. No other place can they find restoration. Whatever the situation may be, Father, we want to be sure that number one, you have heard, and we know you have heard, Father, Lord, and we just ask that you would answer their request, Father, Lord, whatever it is for them, Father, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for, once again, each one who responded, Father, Lord, in any way, Father, Lord, and even those who I feel maybe should still respond, Father, and may still do that in their own quiet way. Maybe even, Father, I pray, Lord, before they lay their head on the pillow this evening, Father, that if there's something that throughout the message that has spoken to them in any way, Father, that they would deal with it, Father. They would give it to you, Lord, and just say, Father, it's in your hands. I've carried this situation long enough, Father, and I'm ready to lay it down, Father. Oh, Father, just thank you for your word. The truth, the reality of your word, Father, Lord, the examples that you give to us, Father, Lord, in helping us to handle life situations, Father, when things don't go well, things don't go as we had expected, Lord, and when we as people are not content, Oh, Father, help us, because you have blessed us so much, help us to be content, Father, Lord, realizing that everything we have is yours, Father. We commit them to you once again. We give it to you once again, Father, Lord. And once again, we give you the praise and honor and glory, Lord. It's in your precious name, Lord, we pray. Amen. God bless each one of you.